Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Morning, everyone. Can you hear me fine? I hope you've been listening, because God is speaking. And the message I have for you was a download during December and January from the Lord. And even as I was sitting, I just felt the Holy Spirit is really strong here to encourage us and to urge us on. So you might have seen, because you won't see now, that the title I felt was Living in the Favor of God. And for those on the group, I've got a lot of scriptures, so I posted them already on the Seaway Family group, so you don't have to write them all down, but you just have to add your notes. But if you finger fast, you can go through the scriptures. I will read some of them. I won't read all of them in full, but those are the scriptures I'll be referencing that God used as we put this together. So as we start this new year, 2022, we should start it the right way. We all want to be prosperous. I don't think there's anyone here who says, I don't want to be prosperous this year. I don't want to be successful this year. I don't want to achieve anything this year. Every year we look forward to a new year. We say, you know, happy new year, blessed new year. But to do that, we actually need to be in the favor of God. And to have his favor on us, because it's a double-sided thing. So how are we going to do this? And why should we live like this? Right at the outset, this is the verse that God gave me about this message. Luke 1, verse 30. Most of the references I'm using from the New Living Translation, there's a couple of other versions I'm going to use. But this is what the angel said to Mary. Do not be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. Who here would like to hear that from the Lord? You, by your name, have found favor with God. But some of us would know that, okay, we don't think that God would say that to us, because I'm doing this and I'm living like this and I'm not this serious about God. And we're going to unpack some of those things. A couple of verses on, the angel reassures Mary. Luke 1:37. The angel says, for the word of God can never fail. King James puts it like this, for with God, nothing is impossible. That is an absolute statement from the throne room of heaven. For with God, nothing is impossible. Not some things are possible. Nothing is impossible. And that is the word of God. Today, the challenge is, are we going to believe what we hear? Are we going to act on what we hear? Are we going to do what we understand God saying to us? So the question is, what sort of life did Mary and Joseph, because Joseph is included in this. Now, God chose them as a couple. I know the angel came to Mary, but Joseph was chosen as well. We don't have time to unpack that whole thing today, but What sort of life did Joseph and Mary live that they would have had found favor with God? We're going to talk about four things. And these are things about what do we need to do? What do we need to be like? What do we need to, how do we need to act? And how do we need to live in order to live in God's favor and have God's favor on us? Because Mary and Joseph would have had to do something. Otherwise, the angel would have not said, for Mary, you have found favor with God. Because she was doing something and living in a certain way. And that's what we want to understand. So the first one, the first point is, what has God told you? What do we do with what God has told us? A revelation, a message, a perception, something we've prayed about. Now, even this morning, there were people that got up, brought prophetic words, spoke things. There were songs that we sung about the word. And these are things that God has told us. And if God, if you sit here and say, God hasn't told me anything, then you're lying or you're blind. Because if you just pick up your word, these days it's in this thing. There are so many promises to be appropriated. Nobody can say God hasn't told them anything. You're just not reading your Bible. Because they're letters to you in there. So when the angels appear to the shepherds, and I know this is in context because we've just passed the festival of, well, it was not a festival, the season of Christmas where we celebrate, although it's not the same day, the birth of Christ. When the angels appeared to the shepherds, there were many things that they could have done. And you know, they were told this amazing thing. They could have said, guys, what did you put in that wine that we drank tonight? Because, yo, guys, this is crazy, man, this is impossible. They could have actually thought that someone had a crazy dream and told him he was insane. They could have also thought that maybe there was something wrong with their food. But they didn't do any of that. What did these humble shepherds do? Luke 2, verse 15 to 16 says, when the angels returned to heaven, so this is after the message is delivered about Christ, they said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph there and the baby lying in the manger. So what is it? What did they do? God told them something through an angel. Their immediate reaction is, let's go. And they hurried. So let's go and they hurried are the key phrases we need to understand. How slow are we to react when God tells us something? Or do we hurry to do it? Do we take our time? Do we debate? No, let's go and seek some more advice. I don't think I like what I'm hearing. And we go around, and I think that's not one of the scriptures I prepared, but I think there's scripture in Timothy about end times. And people will find people to tell them what their itching ears are wanting to hear. And we sometimes do that. Now, I don't like this message. Let me go and find this. Let me ask my friend. And I keep on asking until I get the answer I want. But we know what God has said. Proverbs 16:20 says, those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. That's a promise. So part about living in the favor of God is like he gives you the secrets and the power, but you've got to take that and put it into action. If I delivered you ingredients to bake a cake and you didn't do anything with it, a year later, the moths would be eating the flour and you wouldn't have a cake. But if you actually did your part, though you didn't buy the ingredients and you just basically put the things into motion, you could be eating a nice cake if you know how to bake. Okay, so that's the first one. What do we do with God? What God has told us? And part of that is obviously to make sure that we are hearing God, because there are enough stories about people who believe. And let me tell you, God will tell you. Do not rely on the prophetic alone. We all have in the church age since Christ came and Pentecost came, we have direct access to the throne room of heaven. We do not need secondhand revelation and to rely on that. Do not run your lives on other people's prophecies alone. You spend time in the Word, as you heard here this morning. Number two. So do we make our own plans, our own ways? Do we think we know better? Are we willing to submit or to wait or to listen? Because those can be all the kind of things that God can say. You want to go and buy a house or do this or do that, and God says, wait. You think, oh, no, I'm impatient. I'm going to go and make my own plan. Okay? So I've taken, I don't know how many, a few examples from the Word. And all of these people succeeded in the end, but they first messed it up. Okay, first one is Abraham and Sarah. They were first Abram and Sarai, and they didn't believe God. So let's just look at what God said to them and what they did, and see if these apply to anything in your life. What has God said? And if God said it 10 years ago, it still applies. We sometimes think because he said it long ago, forget about it. So, a promise, Genesis 12, 2 to 3. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you and treat you with contempt. All families on earth will be blessed through you, end quote. My goodness, wouldn't you love a promise like that from God? But first the tests come. If you believe that, you then act on it. Like I was thinking while we were worshiping, when we say we stand on God's word, it doesn't mean to say we take the word of God and we literally stand on it. It means we rely on it. I'm standing on this floor and I'm not worried it's going to collapse. When God says something to you, are you going to stand on it and actually believe that it happens? When you apply for a bond or a loan for a car, or you get a job offer, or you get an appointment from a company, you don't doubt that that's going to happen because it's written there on paper. But we doubt the living God. We don't take him as seriously as we take a letter from the bank. So this is the promise Abraham received. What was their reaction? You find that in Luke, Genesis 16, verse 1 to 3, where we read about the birth of Ishmael. Not exactly God's plan. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian slave girl named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. Remember Adam and Eve? Same problem. Two were in cahoots. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in Canaan. So this promise is now 10 years old. Okay, the Lord's taking a bit of time here. This point is about, do we make our own plans? Sarai's got a nice plan. Look, this is what God has said. God's obviously stopping me from having kids. So something is not happening that God has said. So I now dispose of what God has said, and I now make my own plans because I'm going to try and make that thing come to pass. But God has said it. So sometimes we make these own plans that really mess things up, and then we have to bear the consequences. And today, as you know, we've got the Muslim nation that stems from this exact incident. Okay? And it's been a thorn in the side to Christians. They received a promise about a son. So I actually realized that God first gives him the promise. Then you see they make their own plan. And later, possibly because they need a refresh on this promise and how it's going to happen, God actually now tells them verbatim, you're going to have a son. They weren't told that before. They were just told, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And ironically, that promise was fulfilled through Ishmael because they did become a great nation. If you go and read about what God said to Hagar when he says, I see you. So In Genesis 18, verse 10 to 15, it says, then one of them said, and this is the visitation of the divine intervention to Abram. And Sarah's in the tent behind, so she can hear what they're saying. And they said, this is quote, so this is from the Lord. This is a messenger from the Lord. I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife will have a son. How many people have been promised that you're going to have a child? That's the same promise. How many people have been promised that God's going to do this for you and God's going to do that for you? And sometimes we are the reason for the delay because we add another plan and God has to start again. Or we don't obey. So Sarah was listening to this conversation in the tent. Abram and Sarah were both very old at this time. I think it was about 100 years. And Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed to herself silently and said, how can I be born a woman and me enjoy such a pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is so old? So maybe she didn't write herself off, but she wrote her husband off. Then the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh? But why did she say, can old woman like me have a baby? The Lord says to Abram, is anything too hard for the Lord? Another promise. Just like we heard the promise to Mary. Nothing is impossible. I will return about this time next year and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she denied it. But the Lord said, no, you did laugh. She did it silently. The Lord saw it. Do not even despise the promises of God quietly in your heart. God sees it. Jonah. I think we know Jonah. So let's look quickly at what God said to him in verse 1 and 2 of Jonah. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it and see how wicked these people, because I see how wicked these people are. What did he do? Verse 3. But Jonah got up, so he followed the first instruction, because the Lord said, get up, and he got up. But he went in the opposite direction. To get away from the Lord. He's pulling an Adam move. Let's hide. Let's hide. Let's put these fig leaves on. How many times have we thought we can hide from the Lord? We don't actually do it in that way, but we do it in a subtle way. Oh, God won't know. And so he goes in the opposite direction. And further on, it says he bought a ticket and went on board the ship sailing for Tarshish, hoping to escape from the Lord. Why? Didn't like what God said. Sometimes we may not like what God said, but that's where we're going to find the favor of God. And that's where we're going to be victorious. Nobody who ever did great things just got handed it on a platter. It takes courage. Don't shy away from it if God's given you a big thing. Elijah might think, now, so far already, notice Abraham and Sarah did succeed in the end, even though they messed up. Jonah did succeed in the end, even though with an attitude. Elijah, you never think Elijah falls into this category of someone who was told something and they didn't quite do it. So where did that happen? 1 Kings 18, verse 1 to 2, it says here, later on in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him, I will soon send rain. Elijah went to appear before Ahab. Meanwhile, the famine had become very severe in Samaria. God said it. Sometimes we look at the circumstances, we think it's impossible. Look at the drought, everyone's dying. God says there'll be rain. Yeah, but I can't see it happening. Sometimes we say, this job that I've got, nothing's ever going to change. This wife that I've got, this family member I've got, this situation I've got. We look at the circumstances, it's never going to change. Elijah could have done that. Anyway, in 1 Kings 18, 16 to 17, it says, so Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come. There's a lot of interaction in between this, if you want to go and read some of the scriptures to get the full picture. And Ahab went out to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, so it is really you, the troublemaker of Israel. And anyway, so he goes and tells Ahab what he's going to do. We know, too, that after that whole account, 400 prophets of Baal are dead. God has done an amazing thing. Fire has come down and consumed the bull that was soaked in water. I mean, gee whiz, if you've got that stage to run on, surely you don't falter. But Ahab, 1 Kings 19, verse 1 to 4, gets home and tells dear wife Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sends this message to Elijah: may God strike me even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. What does Elijah do? He flees. This guy that just killed 400 prophets, served God, did an amazing thing. The devil goes, what? And he says, oof, and he's off. How many times has the devil said to you, what? Try to give you a fright. And you just throw away everything that God has said, and you forget about it. Oh, God never said that, because look what the devil said. That is how we hold on to the favor of God. We turn back like Jesus said in the desert and said, no, my Lord, my word says, God says. But anyway, Elijah flees to Sinai. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything. We've read that. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and left his servant there. So he leaves his servant that's traveled with like a bosom buddy. And then he went on into the wilderness, traveling all day, and he sat down under a solitary broom tree. Who else do you remember did that? Jonah. Gonna go find one tree to sulk under. Have you sulked before? God's not doing my stuff. He doesn't answer my prayers. I have had enough, the Lord said. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who already died. How does he get to that place? I know, he didn't have a quiet time. He did succeed in the end. God had to feed him, sends him back. He prays for the rain that God already said is going to happen, and the end is sweet. But we learn the lessons from these people who have had the hard knocks, because I can tell you that's what the devil is doing to this everyone all the time. And that's why we struggle to continually live in the favor of God. And we go to the salt tree. Gideon is promised by God through an angel that God is with him and he will defeat the Midianites. Judges 6:14. Then the Lord said to him, these are all the Lord said to him, and they're in quotes in your Bible. Go and find them. This is verbatim. Now, when you read your Bible, you can put it in quotes because it is the word of God. All scripture is God-breathed. So you have your own quotes when God takes you to a verse like 33:3. Go with strength. With the strength you have, and rescue the Israelites from the Midianites, I am sending you. Much like Moses, which I didn't feature here. But in Judges 6:20 to 21, the angel said to him, place meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it. And Gideon did what he was told. The angel of the Lord touched the meat and the bread with the tip of his staff, and fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all he had brought, and the angel disappeared. Now that's how he received this promise about being the defeater of the Midianites. If you had an encounter with an angel, took an offering, poured broth or liquid over it where it shouldn't burn, and the angel touches it with a staff, and there in front of you it burns, is that not enough to say, wow, okay, let me get going. Let's act like the shepherds. Let's go and hurry off and do what God says. What did Gideon do? Lord, no, I'm not so sure. Judges 6:15. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue the Israelites? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. How many of us allow the lies of the devil and a persecution complex to keep us out of the favor of God? I'm not good enough. I can't stand in front of people. I can't tell these things. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't change. I'm like this. Sorry, that's the way I am. I can't change. But with God, nothing is impossible. But you have to surrender. Otherwise, you can't change because you're going to hang on to it. And you will exclude yourself from the favor of God. So Gideon says to God, if you're truly going to use me to rescue you as promised, and ask him to continue to prove it. And we know about the fleece and that. And we know about the story where he succeeds with 300 men because God says, okay, I'm really going to show you. And he whittles his army down to 300 men and does it. First, he has to go through this testing time where he doesn't trust what God says. Another person. Now, I'm using all of these examples because I'm sure that there's a broad enough range for you to pick one to identify with, if not two or three or four or five. Okay? Because we're human. We're not unlike our ancestors. Zechariah did not believe the angel about Elizabeth's prophetic conception. They were in favor with God and received a promise. Zechariah, you hear in Luke 1:16, Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They were chosen. They were chosen to have the prophet John the Baptist, who heralded the coming of Christ, and Elizabeth was actually a relative of Mary, as you find out. And the angel further says to them, but the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah, for God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. Direct word from God. But they did not believe. Zechariah says to the angel, same as Sarah, how can I be sure this will be true? You can contrast this to Mary's response. God sees the heart. The words might appear the same, but the outcome was different. Why? Because Mary was actually asking, okay, so I just need to understand, how is this going to happen? It was a believing, it's going to happen, but just exactly how? Zechariah, no, this is impossible. It's not going to happen. Same words, when you read it in the Bible, almost the same, but a completely different outcome because God saw Zechariah's heart. He was not believing. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this will be happening? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years. Nice way of saying it about your wife. Then the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It is he who sent me to bring you this good. No, it's not Gabriel's bringing this. This is from God. I'm just the messenger. But now, since you did not believe what was said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words certainly will be fulfilled at the proper time. God is able and he will fulfill what he says, even if I have to make a few people not be able to speak for a while. And you can read about the disciples of John 2. Go and find out if that's really Jesus. They also didn't believe. I don't have references there for you. There's enough there for us to understand that you don't make your own plans. Be cautious and do not be impatient. If God said, wait, wait. Continue to pray, but don't go and Boodmark a plan. Boodmark nie rechte plan nie. Only God makes the plans that will succeed and deliver your favor. So, number three, and I think this is probably the hardest one, because we all say, yes, this is not a problem, but it actually is a problem. Do we really believe God? Do we believe God? Do we really believe God? Because I even myself, I'm challenged. How many times, if God's word says this, why am I doubting? Why am I worried? Why am I concerned? This is what God's word says about his believers. And we have absolute foundations to lay our lives on, and yet we panic about our future. We panic about even Corona. It's got the world going crazy. But God says things to believers that we can stand on. Psalm 91 comes to mind. Even though 1,000 may fall dead beside you, 10,000 all around you, it will not harm you. And who will it not harm? Those people that stand on the word. We have promises. We don't appropriate them. So do we really believe God? John 8:21. Unbelieving people are warned. Later, Jesus said to them, I'm going away, and you will search for me, but will die in your sin. You can't come where I'm going. Jesus continued, then 23:24. You are from below, I am from above. You belong to this world, I do not. This is why I said, you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he you claim to, that I claim to be, you will die in your sins. Jesus was challenging the generation when he was on earth about believing things that were said about him. And just in my quiet time this morning, it was referencing the wise men, which I think I put on the discipleship group during the holidays as well. How is it that the wise men from Persia believed more about the word of God? And my quiet time was highlighting, which is quite interesting, that Daniel was a prophet in Persia, and he'd written about the coming of Christ. These guys had got hold of that, and they saw the star. And yet the very people in the church at the time did not believe. They knew about it because they were able to advise King Herod when the Messiah was supposed to come, even where he was supposed to come, but they missed it. Titus 1, verse 15 to 16. Everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure. Nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and their consciences are corrupted. Such people claim to know God, but when they deny him by the way they live, they are detestable, disobedient, worthless. Do you want the favor of God? Check how you're living. Is your actions by the way you live denying God? Are we one way here today and in life group and another way at work or in the traffic? It's a tough one, I know. Hebrews 3:12, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. People, only you will know what's in your heart. Only you will know if there's a little compartment that you've reserved that says no. That's this little section, like I'm in charge of this. Lord, you can have this, but this little piece here, this little thing I have, I'm not changing that. Believing God equals favor with God. Unbelieving equals the wrath of God. Unbelieving equals anything but action. So if you're unbelieving, you're not going to do what God said. You're going to make another plan, go another way, go in the opposite direction. It means we create our own plans. We have our own ideas. No, Lord, I know better. We consult others instead of God. And just notice, this doesn't contradict, as I've just put in here, so you don't think I'm contradicting scripture. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. God is not telling us not to consult others, but don't do it so that you can go and find out someone's going to tell you what you want to hear, because you know what you're supposed to hear. When you consult others, go and choose godly men who you know will tell you what God says, and God can use them to confirm it, and be prepared to accept the answers you get. That's what God is saying. Proverbs 16, verse 1 to 3, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. People may be pure in their own eyes. Aren't we all pure in our own eyes? But the Lord examines their motives. We sometimes make it look like we're going to do the right thing, but deep down there's something else driving us that if I do this, I'm going to get that. so that my motive is completely negating what looks like it's a godly thing. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. When you commit your actions to the Lord, you're saying, Lord, these are yours. This is what I understand. This is what I believe. This is what I believe I'm hearing from you, but they're yours to change. Just look at Joseph's and Mary's life, who's our example today. The pattern of their life. They lived some time in Egypt. They lived some time there. They got out of Bethlehem when Herod was killing the babies. And then they eventually came back to Nazareth. And then they went here. They didn't plan that. But as they said, they did. As God said, they did. Hebrews 11:6. Sorry, another one in terms of your own plans. And this is a dangerous one. It links to the Halloween talk I did. Consulting mediums, esoteric ways, star signs, fortune telling, etc. Don't even go there. Don't even touch it. Don't even be hesitant to pick up the U or the ace on it and just now I really want to know what God says. Let me just see what the star signs say. You've just opened a double door for the devil to tell you what he wants you to hear. Just go and look at Saul, what happened to him. Hebrews 11:6, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him, seek him, must believe that God exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And the last one, do we live in fellowship and righteously with God wholeheartedly? So it links to what we're talking about believing. Wholeheartedly. What does the Bible say about that? The favor of God is described as a shield. So faith likens faith to a shield. Paul said that in Ephesians, the shield of faith. In Psalms 5:12, it says, Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous and you surround them with your favor as a shield. So what is a shield as well? God's favor. In Hebrews 11:6 again, it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Pleasing God, the favor of God, the shield of God, all linked. If you can't please God, faith is your key to being the shield. Just like we have the shield of faith, favor of God is a shield. Look at Job. When the favor of God was on him, nothing could happen. When the favor of God came back into his life after a time of testing, again, he prospered immensely. But you do not have in your heart, if I do this, I'm going to be rich because the favor of God's gone on me. We don't practice the prosperity gospel. We don't say, if I do this, God will bless me, and that's my key to becoming rich, because then your heart is evil because you actually want to be rich. You don't want to do what God says. But if you do what God says, God will make you rich. But you can't have that motive first. People think the favor of God can be earned and judged by the wrong measures or strive by the wrong things. 1 Samuel 16:7 tells us, don't judge by his appearance. God does not look at the things that man looks at. Do you remember they were choosing the king, David? Said to them, you got it wrong. David wasn't even considered. He wasn't even in the room. All the other sons were there. David was excluded. Why? Because man looks at the outward things. He doesn't look at things the way God does. You need to look at things the way God does to be in the favor of God. You may not understand them, but you have to do God's way. Another one, do you have the things that come between you and God? Are there things or ways or plans or dreams or anything that is more important to you than God's will? That's going to hinder your favor in God. He says, you shall have no other God before me, is one of the commandments. The condition of our heart is measured by the standard of what, and this determines if we will be in the favor of God. So if we have another God before us, if we have another thing, if it's my car that's more important to me, if it's my house, if it's the relationship with my wife, what she thinks of me, that's more important than God. If my boss, pleasing my boss is more important to me than God, then one day when God says something to you that's going to displease the boss and please God, you're not going to do it. Are you trying to earn God or please him by the way you do? Don't get me wrong. This message about the favor of God is not trying to change your life so that you can earn it. You cannot earn the favor of God. You just have to do what he says, the way he says it, wholeheartedly, and then the favor of God will come, but you cannot earn it. Don't set out on this journey to try and earn anything from God. Everything that we have is by grace. So you cannot earn God's favor. God's ways are contrary to our ways. So we sometimes think that if I'm goody, then that's how I'm going to get the favor of God. But look at, Lord, what I'm doing. God looks at the heart, people. This is where it comes back to. Your ways and your actions, like the scripture says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. If we go to Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to, I know off by heart the NIV, but I'm reading the NLT. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. NIV says, if you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. It's a promise. And Jeremiah 11 to 13, the NIV, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's wholeheartedly. All your heart. Not this little piece that, Lord, I've got a little secret I'm not letting you have. Isaiah 29, verse 13 to 16. I'll just read an extract from that. These people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And they worship, their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules and rote. We could have stood here and worshiped this morning, and God would have heard three of us, if only three were wholehearted. The rest, you can say what you want to the Lord, but he's looking at our heart. And though you're singing, Jesus is my Lord, your actions and your whatevers are speaking, Jesus is not my Lord. Not the way to earn the favor of God. And Jesus goes and he quotes that same passage in Matthew 15, verse 6 to 9. In this way, you say you don't need to honor your parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own traditions. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas and commands from God. Aha, to that. Because it's so interesting that Jesus himself requotes that scripture. Which means we can't even say, it's an Old Testament thing. Jesus brought that one back into the New Testament and said, guys, this thing of the heart is important. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, and almost done. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Depend not on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. See these inclusive statements, all your heart, in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So to summarize, don't make your own plans apart from God or in opposition to God. Really believe God and do what he's told you. Because if you did believe him, you will do what he's told you. Even if it is waiting, then be patient. Live righteously with God, wholeheartedly. Have nothing else beside him which is more important. That is pretty much summed up to close in Matthew 6:33. My favorite verse. The one God kicked my butt on. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. In other words, the plans that you want, the purpose, the provision, the favor of God, all of that comes when you say, yes, Lord, you first. But when you want to seek the things of this world because you think, okay, I need this and I need that and I need this and I need this career and I need this money and I need this house and I need this strategy and I need whatever, we're not seeking God first. We want to hear the words that the angel said to Mary, you have found favor with God. Can we pray? This is between you and the Lord. So you stand up if you say, Lord, include me in this. I want to say, Lord, there are things that at the start of 2022, I realize I still want to live in your favor. And I want to repent of some of the things that you might have highlighted, the Lord might have highlighted to you. So, Father, we stand here as a church, submitted to you, and we say, Lord, use us. We will seek your kingdom first. Forgive us where we have failed, where in the past we've tried our own ways. Lord, we long to hear the words of Mary, we have found favor with God. The time is short. The end times and number of prophecies are coming out that the time is short. And God said, we will see the signs. We are seeing the signs. We will not know the day. We don't know which day the rapture will take place. It could even be this year. But Lord, the time is short. Let us give the time we have left to you so that we may live in the favor of you, that we may be those that bear fruit and are not continually just growing our tree for the sake of growing our tree to say, look at me. That we will give ourselves sacrificially to you and your purposes. So have your way with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.